Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Super Heavy, number four. Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black, a chronicle of commercial space and big space. Right now, The Mastery by SpaceX leads us to Super Heavy, number four. Bob, we need a definition. What is Super Heavy versus Starship versus an ordinary rocket ship? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Super Heavy is essentially the first stage booster of SpaceX's heavy lift Saturn V comparable rocket, reusable. The second stage is Starship. You put them together, you get a rocket that's taller than the Saturn V and can put into orbit as much, if not more, mass as the Saturn V. But the rocket can come back and be reused, and if it's done the way SpaceX wants it to, it will be reused within hours, and the cost per launch will be like $2 million to $10 to $30 million. But any one of those, if $30 million, that's about the same as they charge right now for a Falcon 9 launch, and they'll be putting into orbit 5 to 6 times as much mass. So this is a big deal. So what's that Super Heavy, and what's the way SpaceX has been doing both Starship and Super Heavy is they're building a lot of prototypes and testing them, sometimes blowing them up, and then building another prototype, like a mass assembling, you know, like Ford, assembly line process. So Super Heavy prototype number four has now been installed on the orbital launch pad at their Boca Chica facility at the southern tip of Texas. And the orbital launch pad they've been building now for about the last 6 months is the pad in which they will launch Super Heavy with Starship for the first orbital test flight. Now, Elon Musk has said they're hoping to have that orbital flight in January. Well, now Super Heavy number four is on the launch pad, and they actually have road closures this week, which suggests they're hoping to do the first static fire tests of that Super Heavy prototype this week. This would be the first static fire tests with it locked onto its launch pad. And this thing's got 29 engines, Raptor engines, at its base. That's the full complement of expected Raptor engines for an orbital flight. When fired, that's going to be quite spectacular, John, because that's a lot of engines, and each one of those engines is the most powerful rocket engine ever created. And they have 29 of them. And so they've got it on the launch pad. We should see static fire tests within the next week or so. By the end of the year, FAA says it's going to approve the environmental assessment, which means SpaceX will be ready to go to do its orbital launch of Starship Super Heavy in the month of January.
Time magazine, learning some from its mistakes in the past, has finally made a decision for Person of the Year. I celebrate Elon Musk. And Elon Musk is probably helping Time Magazine more than vice versa. What did you make of this, Bob? Did it make you laugh?
Yes, it makes me laugh, but it is a good choice. As I say, I'm Behind the Black, in a perfect demonstration that a broken clock gets to be right by accident ever so often. Time Magazine named Elon Musk its 21 Person of the Year. And Musk, without question, is a great choice for this, because you can't get anyone who's changing the world and shaking it up more effectively than Elon Musk has for the last decade. Of course, Time Magazine, its reasons for pick, it's made a lot of cringeworthy Person of the Year choices in the last two decades, really poor choices, often picking people not because they achieved anything, but because they just are suddenly big names, celebrities. But in this case, he's achieved things. Their reasons for picking him, of course, are the modern woke leftist envy against billionaires. They're not so much awarding this to him because he achieved magnificent things that's changing the world, but because he represents, quote, the world's wealthiest people, close quote, who illustrate society's, quote, deepening inequality. They're basically envious of his wealth.
Well,
and
Bob,
so that's what they named him.
He's wealthy because he takes risks. And
yes, he takes risks. He creates things. What he creates produces tens of thousands of jobs and businesses hiring tens of thousands of other people. He's really brought wealth to everybody in the world by building, as he said, you got to build stuff. He builds stuff. He doesn't sit around. That's his real achievement.
He bends metal. Let's go to a wannabe SpaceX Axiom. What is that, Bob?
Well, this was a really funny and strange press release by NASA this week. They announced that they have, quote, selected Axiom for the second private commercial manned mission to ISS. And, of course, the use of the word selected is utter garbage by NASA. What NASA has essentially done is that it has given Axiom the okay to fly its second commercial private tourist flight to NASA's space station, ISS. NASA has every right to say yes or no to any private company that wants to dock with passengers to ISS. They have the right to do that, but they don't have the right to select anything ever. They don't have that power. The language of the announcement, and this flight's now going to, they have a February flight already scheduled. This flight's going to happen in the fall of 22 or early in 23, and then Axiom has another two flights after that scheduled, which will lead to around 24 when they will start docking their own modules to ISS. Well, this announcement and its language indicates NASA wants to gather more power to itself than it deserves. They also have raised the prices to put private tourists on ISS by 700%. And all that's going to encourage these private companies to build their own space stations as quickly as possible so they can tell NASA to go jump in a lake. But it is just proving that Axiom's going to happen. That's a good thing.
Boeing made a decision about Starliner. We need to recover where Starliner is. Last time we spoke of it, it's troubled. Is it less troubled now?
I think it's less troubled, but, you know, the game that they play in press releases here is another one of those press release game stories. Boeing has announced, you know, all right, so let me back up. When Starliner was scheduled to do its unmanned demo flight this summer, they aborted the launch about mere hours before because 13 valves in the service module attached to the capsule would not function properly. They were sticking. 13 valves out of either 36 or 64, I lose count, but that's a lot of valves not to work just hours before launch. So they were forced to bring everything back, bring it back into the assembly and the facility, the manufacturing facility, and really take apart that service module. And it's delaying them now almost till May. They're now targeting May for the next unmanned demo flight, putting it only about 2.5 years behind schedule. But they've decided to do that May flight. They're not going to use that service module with the sticking valves. They've made the decision to move up the service module they were going to use on the next flight, the manned flight, and use that instead for the demo flight. And this press release says that their plan is to, it's a swap. They're going to take this service module for the unmanned mission and put it with the manned mission. I personally think that's balderdash. It's a press release game they're playing to make believe that service module is useful. I think in the end they're going to scrap it because even though they might have figured out what's causing the valve problem, they haven't been able to fix the valves, I think, on that service module, and that's why they're swapping it out. What this means is the schedule is May. They're talking for unmanned demo flight and August for the first manned flight, assuming the May flight goes well. And let's keep our fingers crossed.
Blue Origin, another too much press release, not enough action company in commercial space. This is the one associated with Bezos. This is filled with engineers and directors from NASA. This is the one that has spectacular celebrity suborbital flights, and at the same time has a BE-4 engine that's been delayed. How long is it now, Bob? How long have we been waiting?
It's about 3 years behind schedule. And it's so here's the deal. I mean, we talked about there was rumors of more delays last week. There's another story from Eric Berger at Ars Technica talking to unnamed sources at Blue Origin that are confirming that the engine had, let me read, there recently was a relatively small production issue with fabrication of the flight engines at their factory in Washington. What that suggests to me is that the reason the Blue Origin BE-4 engine is not ready is because it's, by the way, this article also pointed out the testing of the engine has been going very well. The engine has been firing many hours. They really think it's ready to go. The trouble is that they did not plan for mass producing these engines, and they've got to produce two flight-worthy engines to give to ULA for its Vulcan rocket, as well as have engines for their own Blue Origin's New Glenn rocket. And that means you've got to be able to mass produce these engines, and it appears they didn't really figure that out. That's how I interpret this story. What it means is that the first flight-worthy engines are not going to be delivered, this is confirming what I said last week, till at least the second quarter of 2022. That's sometime in May, June, which means getting Vulcan launched in 22 is going to be very problematic. That would put it 3 years behind schedule. It would put New Glenn at minimum 3 years behind schedule. It's pretty bad news.
Bob, do you see any indication in the reporting on Blue Origin that this is about getting it ready to sell as opposed to a problem that needs to be fixed by new hiring decisions? It can look as if they're doing all this publicity because they've got somebody who's interested in buying.
No, I think the story here, John, is a variation of what happened at SpaceX with the Raptor engine, but Blue Origin and Jeff Bezos is not responding the same way. Elon Musk realized that they had not thought out the manufacturing, mass production of the Raptor engines properly, he got involved immediately, fired people, and got new management in to change things. Wasn't going to waste any time, and he's done that before, did it with Starlink as well. At Blue Origin, it's very clear that they did not think out the manufacturing process, but there's no hint that they've made any major managerial changes here. We don't know what they've done or are planning to do to shake things up. Thus, don't know, and that's the real unknown, John.
We go to a story about the Artemis Accords. What is that, Bob? And then we'll go to Mexico.
Yeah, all right, so Mexico has become the 14th nation, including the U.S., to sign the Artemis Accords, which is U.S.-led. The Artemis Accords were created by the Trump administration as a vehicle to bypass the Outer Space Treaty's limitations on private property in space. Essentially, it's bilateral agreements between the U.S. and other nations, whereby those nations to participate in the Artemis project to get back to the moon and elsewhere with the United States, they agree to abide by the Artemis Accords, which states essentially they're going to honor private property in space and private investment in space. And so even though that kind of it's a gray area wording to get around the outer space the treaty's limitations on establishing law in space, it's essentially doing that. And now Mexico, we have 14 nations have signed it. Russia and China oppose it. France and Germany remain outside yet and are unknown what they're going to do. And those, I think, the two big ones. When they sign, we'll have really firmed this up. I don't know yet. I think Germany's more likely to sign than France at this point, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond the Black. We're going exploring next. We're going very, very far away. Something called the Hubble constant that may or may not explain something that happened billions of years ago called the Big Bang. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.